This is Deanne Penn with UN News. Asylum seekers bound for Australia have been left mentally scarred by years of detention on Pacific Islands, a senior UN refugee agency, UNHCR official, said on Wednesday. Indrika Ratwate, who heads the agency's Asia and Pacific Bureau, has spoken about the shocking impact of the policy after a recent visit to the islands of Nauru and Manus. Australia has a long tradition of supporting refugees globally, but the arguments against offshore processing are compelling, Mr. Ratwate told Daniel Johnson.
I think the psychological and the mental health situation of the refugees and asylum seekers was shocking, in particular as it relates to children. And I have seen a little girl, for example, who was 12 years old in a catatonic state, who has not stepped out of her room in a month, who was pretty much in that bed, not moving. Clinical psychiatrists and professionals have determined that around 80% of the asylum seekers and refugees in Nauru and Manus as well are suffering from post-traumatic stress and depression. This is per capita one of the highest mental health problems that have been noted.
So how is Australia going to ensure that these people get the care they need?
I think three things. Firstly, as you rightly say, as a convention signatory to the Refugee Convention, Australia has its international law obligations to provide access to refugees and asylum seekers to its territory and due process. So UNHCR feels strongly that Australia should revisit this offshore processing policy and enable refugees and asylum seekers to come to its territory to go through due process. Second point, in this situation where Australia has put through offshore processing these refugees and asylum seekers in Nauru and PNG, the responsibility to ensure that these individuals have the required requisite care remains with Australia, and as such it should capacitate and support Nauru, for example, to be able to provide healthcare facilities, psychiatric care, etc., should they be considering a transfer of that responsibility, and provide financial support to the government of Nauru to provide these services. It has to ensure that the quality of this service and the adequacy is ensured.
Many billions of dollars have already been spent by Australia on this offshore settlement policy. Where is the end for these refugees and asylum seekers? There has been a deal with the United States, which is going to take out around 1,000 of those in Nauru and Manus. How about the remainder? How many are we talking about now?
We welcome the agreement between Australia and the US to take these refugees. Around 1,200, as you say, will benefit from the resettlement program to the US. However, about 1,000 individuals will remain in need of solutions. And as such, we encourage the Australian government to seriously consider the offer which is on the table and made by the government of New Zealand to take refugees, and also to expediently look at solutions for the remaining population. And there are many also who have close family links in Australia, and these cases should be looked at extremely urgently and enabled to join family in Australia.
You've been in the humanitarian sector for more than 20 years. Have you ever seen anything like this? You've written movingly about the detainees who stay inside, sheltering from the heat outside, youngsters and families from Syria, from Sri Lanka, from Myanmar. Have you ever seen anything quite like this?
The situation, particularly for children and their mental health condition, was indeed shocking. The sense of hopelessness and despair was tangible, and to my mind, this is completely avoidable. And for those who say offshore processing is to prevent people from drowning at sea and to save lives, it's ironical if you are having this process to save lives at sea and people indulge in self-harm and suicide on land.